Good morning. Go ahead and stay seated as I read the scripture today. I'm going to read 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for your word. And Lord, I pray that as we look into your word, that if our life needs to be changed, Father, may the Holy Spirit be free to work in our lives, to cause the changes that we need to make, to bring our sin to mind so that we might repent. Lord, I thank you and praise you for who you are. And I thank you this morning for Jesus, in whose name we have life. And we thank you and praise you this morning in his name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Oh, you are seated. I guess I'm playing by other rules. I don't know. Sometimes you get in habits, and habits can be hard to break. Not sure about you, but at least for me. Don't laugh at me, Tori. How many of you like taking tests? Raise your hand. You are sick puppies. I don't know anybody except Wally and Kyle and somebody in the back, Richard maybe, who likes to take a test. Tests reveal our knowledge of some subject. The results of tests will help us determine our future actions. Leah, you just finished a bunch of tests. Not only did you have, pardon? I know, you had to pass all the tests you had in school, then you had to pass a certification test. If you can drive in this state, you had to pass a driving test. Back when I took a driving test, you had to do parallel parking, not that sissy maneuverability stuff. But parallel parking is... I think it's an art, and it's a lost art. And I failed my driver's test the first time because I was so confident after I got that car backed in there perfectly, and I was in a hurry on the way out and brushed one of the poles. I had to go come back and pass that test again, or pass the test for the first time. I didn't pass it again. Help me, Wally. I need to. But there are tests, too, that we face in the practice of our faith, and we're going to look at some of those tests today. And the tests reveal where we are as far as discipleship, as far as obedience, and as far as our love for God and for love for one another. Tests reveal also our attitude toward our faith and toward others. Do we really believe what God says? I'm just asking a question. Wally believes, and somebody else, a couple other people shook their head, but let me ask you again, do we really believe what God says? Do we really believe that what we believe is really real? And we need to believe it. But not only do we need to believe it, we need to demonstrate that faith on a daily basis. And if we're not demonstrating that faith on a daily basis, we fail the test. I don't know, Catherine, you put up passed and failed. I'm not sure where we are in that thing. So you checked passed, and that's okay. Well, we're going to find out today whether we pass or fail. Right belief will lead to right action. We will walk as Jesus walked. Y'all believe that? Wally, go around with a stick and smack people and wake them up. 1 John 2:6 says this, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. The word walk talks about our manner of life, the way we live out our lives before God, before others. Colossians 2:6 says this, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Live your life in him. Live your life in his power, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Live your life the way Jesus lived his life so that others might see us living and reflecting Jesus before them. I want to talk about the importance of light in our Christian life and in passing the test. Look back at chapter 1, verse 5. It says this, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, James called God the Father of lights. He is the originator and creator of light. It says that with the Father of lights, there is no variation or shadows. I've been thinking about this for a while, and the phrase that came to my mind was, we are engulfed by the light, or we need to be engulfed by the light, completely surrounded by the light. We need to be immersed in the light as he is the light. In Matthew chapter 5, we're told we need to be reflectors of the light because we are the light. Jesus said in John chapter 12, I am the light of the world. Are you walking in the light? Can you pass that test? We can claim, according to 1 John, to have fellowship with God, but be completely engulfed in sin. And you can't have one and the other together. You will either be engulfed in the light or you will be engulfed in sin. You can't play and have part of one and part of the other. You are either all in him or you are not practicing in him at all. John says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. By the way, this is not my opinion. This is God's opinion. And I will tell you, you don't have to read 1 John very long before you find out whether you really are a believer or not. Because John asks some really tough questions. And he says some really difficult things. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Isn't it easy to tell somebody we are something when we are really not? Isn't it easy to live our lives here differently than we live our lives out there? Isn't it easy to play a game in church? What do they call that? Hypocrisy. Claiming to be one thing and being completely something else. You can't be walking in light and practicing sin at the same time. Do we sin? Absolutely. But one of the things that walking in light does for us, beginning in verse 5 again, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him. Walking in the light will reveal our sin. Light exposes. His light will reveal to us where we really are, where we truly are in our relationship with him, in our fellowship with Jesus. Walking in light will lead us to continually repent of our sin. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. The word there is continuing to cleanse. The process never stops. When we walk in the light, aren't we made more aware of our sin? And when we're made more aware of our sin, what is our responsibility to God? To repent. And there is a false repentance and a genuine repentance. A false repentance bothers us today. It's because of guilt. And we'll say we're sorry, but it doesn't change our behavior. Genuine repentance is a change of mind in which we turn away from following sin to following God and continue to follow God with the absolute conviction that we will not go back. The word repent means to change our mind. Do we change our mind about sin? Are we completely aware of how sin affects our lives and affects the lives of others? I will tell you that I believe that if you are not in fellowship with God, you cannot be in fellowship with anybody else. If you are a believer, if you're not in fellowship with God, you will not be in fellowship with anybody else. Sometimes I look at problems in my own relationship with Diane. It's not necessarily about her. It's about there are times when I am not in fellowship with God that I am out of fellowship with her. I'm more argumentative. There are more times when I think I know it all. There are times that I just don't get it right. But if I'm walking with God, then my relationships with others are what they need to be. If I'm walking with God and someone offends me, will I be quick to try to make that right? Will I be less apt to take offense at what somebody has done? Will I be willing to put others first, to sacrifice my own desires so that others can benefit? We talked this morning in Sunday school about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. If I'm engulfed by those things, then I'm not walking in the light. There are two basic worldviews. Listen, only two. There is a biblical worldview and there is a secular worldview. And sometimes the church gets those confused. They kind of blend those things together. You can be anti-something that, for example, you can be absolutely opposed to abortion and say lying is okay. Or you don't consider, or I don't consider lying to be as grievous to God. You can't blame one. You can't mix both of them together. So the question is, do we see the world from a biblical viewpoint or do we see it from a secular viewpoint? If we look at the world through a biblical worldview, then we are less likely to do things that are unlikely to God. Walking. If you're not walking in light, there are a number of things that can happen. Division can happen. Anxiety. Angst. Are we required to love one another? Are we? Does Scripture mandate that we love one another? It absolutely does. So then, it is easy to love those who are like us. It's easy. You know, if you're white middle class or upper middle class and you have children and you live in a certain neighborhood, it's easy to love those who are like you, isn't it? You can see those things even in the church. But what about someone of a different color? What about someone of a different ethnic group? What about Democrats and Republicans, by the way? People who disagree with us politically. You can disagree and not hate one another. You can disagree and still love one another. And that's part of the problem, even in the church. We will disagree and then we will categorize. We'll disagree about When we are not walking in the light, we will focus on people that are not like us and judge them and criticize them and push them to the curb. I am not saying, well, I am saying, we have whites who hate Black Lives Matter, don't we? We have whites and blacks who hate Antifa and skinheads, don't we? We have people who hate others simply because they're different. I have a problem with Somalis. I do. I don't know why, I just do. Maybe I've been influenced by Black Hawk Down, or maybe I've been influenced by Somali pirates, but you know, did Jesus die for them? Did Jesus love them the same way he loved me? And didn't he give his life for them? How about the lesbians and the gays and the bisexuals and the transgenders? Did God die for them too? Then why is it that we judge and criticize and push them to the curb? The only way that anyone will ever come to Christ is through Jesus loving them. As we share God's love with them, and if we're not walking in the light, we will marginalize people in our society, and we just will get to the point where we don't care. We'll criticize. There's even disagreement in the church about spiritual gifts. These guys do that, these guys don't. And so we divide. If I love you, I am required to love you regardless. Y'all hear me? It's not based on who you are or what you do. It's based on who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Are we walking in the light as he is in the light? If you're not walking in the light, if you say you have fellowship, and you hate your brother, you don't walk in the light. There are six ifs I want to talk about. Look at verse 6 of 1 John chapter 2. Am I in the right place? 1 John chapter 6. I'm sorry. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If is a conditional clause. If this, then this. If we walk in, if we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. This, the assumption here is, if you say we have fellowship with him, that we walk in the light. And if we don't, we are what? Come on, tell me. What's it say we are? Liars. Liars. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If then, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, then the truth is not in us. If then. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, then what? He forgives. If we confess, then he forgives. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If we say we've not sinned, what? Then we make him a liar. Chapter 2. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate. We have an advocate. What's an advocate? You know, when I think about advocate right off, I think about Perry Mason. Anybody remember Perry Mason? Perry Mason was an attorney who was called alongside. That's what an advocate is. An advocate is one who pleads the cause of another. An advocate is one who defends or vindicates. And Jesus vindicates us because his sacrifice is sufficient for us. The blood he shed on the cross wipes away our sin. He is the propitiation, it says. That's a pretty big theological word, isn't it? Propitiation? How many of you have ever heard that word before? Not a lot of people. Propitiation means satisfaction. That Christ is the only offering that satisfied God concerning sin. If we are in light, we'll keep his commandments. Matthew chapter 22. I think you'll recognize this passage of Scripture, Tori. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, by the way, just for fun, here's how you can remember Sadducees. Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, so they were sad, you see. How's that, Wally? Just a thought. They gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is a great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And our purpose statement here is to love God and love others for his glory. To love God and to love others for his glory. John chapter 14. We walk in the light, it says, we will keep his commandments. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will do what? Is it up there? If you love me, you will do what? Keep my commandments. Verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So what's it say? Whoever keeps my commandments is the one who loves me. Love God, love others for his glory. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest or make known myself to him. Verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. If anyone loves me, he will do what? Keep my word. If we're walking in the light, as he is in the light, we will keep his commandments. Verse 24. Whoever does not love me does not keep my word. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Can it be any plainer than that? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you don't keep my commandments, you don't love me. And it doesn't matter what you say. If you don't do what Jesus tells us to do, you don't love him. Not my opinion, John's. John writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it is absolutely true. You don't have to like it, but it's true. And believer, if you're walking in the light, this will be true of you. Keep his commandments. I will tell you that I believe, and I've believed all my life, ever since I've been a Christian anyway, that if you love God with everything you are and you love others with everything you are, you will do what God says to do. You will walk in the light. You will follow Jesus. You will continue to have fellowship with Jesus. You will continue to have fellowship with others. You will love him, love others, practice what you say you believe. We'll tell you that living out our faith in this society becomes increasingly difficult. We're challenged in a number of different ways. I heard several years ago that Christians were unintelligent, ill-informed, worthless. Y'all believe that? Do you think Christians are ignorant? If you do, then we have a problem. Now, the Bible does say that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. It is not easy to love. It's much easier to judge. Every year Columbus has that pride parade. You're all familiar with that? There's a church from Kansas. I believe that's where they are. Their website, as you find them on the web, it says, God hates fags. As a matter of fact, you can find it, godhatesfags.com. Does he? Didn't he die for gays and lesbians? Didn't he? You know, I've never been gay, and I don't understand it. I don't understand homosexuality. I don't understand the attraction. But I do know that part of my life was I drank, I did drugs, there were times when I lied, even though my mother taught me not to. There were times when I acted anything like anything but a Christian, but God still loved me, and Jesus still died for me so that I could have eternal life through faith in Him. We are sinners saved by grace, and others need to hear the saving grace of the gospel. And when we refuse because they're a different color, or they're different, they're from a different ethnicity, or they're a different political party, or for whatever reason, when we push people to the margin, and we marginalize people, we don't love them. By the way, who needs to be saved? Everyone. Christ, for God so loved what? The world that He gave His only begotten, His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him, whoever. Does that encompass everyone in society? Does that encompass everyone in the world? That whoever believes in Him will not perish, should not perish, but have eternal life. We need to see the sin in our lives before we start judging the sin in others. Back to 1 John. Verse 7. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Leviticus chapter 19. Here's what God says. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Start with verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These are the old commandments that John is writing about. These are things that their fathers had heard, their grandfathers had heard, their great-grandfathers had heard and had been passed on. Love God and love others. Jesus says in John chapter 13, He gives, what he'll say is, excuse me, John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. What's he say? You're to love others as what? I have loved you. I don't know that as long as I'm alive, I will ever understand why God loves me. There are some things I understand about God, but I have no clue why He loves me. Just that He set his love upon me. There is nothing in me that deserves God's love. There is nothing that I have done that deserves God's love, yet in his grace and in his mercy, he set his love upon me. Just as I have loved you, he loved us enough to put us over his own self-interest. He loved us enough to be nailed to a cross and pay the penalty for our sins, the penalty that we could not pay. He loved us enough to die for us. He loved us enough to be resurrected for us and ascend to heaven, which assures us of eternal life. But verse 35 for me is pretty difficult because it makes us put this love into practice. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples. There's that clause again, if. If you have love for one another. How do I demonstrate my love for others? I support them. I encourage them. I come alongside them when they need help. I put them first. Isn't that how we demonstrate our love for others? I don't gossip about them. I don't tear them down. I don't try to ruin their reputation. I don't slander them. Because if I do those things, the scripture is very clear. I hate them. And God's love is not in me. Back to 1 John. First John chapter 2, verse 9. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Again, it's easy to like people who are like us. It's easy to love people who are like us. You know, Kyle, I even thought about you this morning when I was finishing this, when I was redoing it in my head. Kyle is from the South, right? Kyle's from the Deep South. I'm from Ohio. There are regional differences. Is that right? When I was taking a class in school, it was called Planting Churches, Church Planting. It was taught by a guy. From then, it was the Home Mission Board. Now it's the North American Mission Board. And he came and he taught this, and he said that there was an area in North Carolina that was growing because there was new manufacturing going in. And growth was all around this church. And yet the church was declining in membership. And someone from the Home Mission Board at that time went to the people in that church and said, "What's going on? The community all around you is growing, and yet you're declining. What is the reason? Why aren't some of these people coming to your church?" And this guy said, the person said to the person from the Home Mission Board, "We don't want no damn Yankees in this church." Can you imagine somebody saying that? Kyle said yes. Does that not blow you away? I'm not listening, John. Does that not do something to you, to your head? God died for the North and God died for the South. Is that right? There were godly men in the Union, godly men in the Confederates. And yet, there is that divide. There's a divide north and south. There's a divide between the Midwest and Northeast. Different values, right? You know, it's not about who the president is or who the president isn't. It's not about that. It's not about who your senator or representative is or who they aren't. Because the last time I checked, my God was in control and my God is seated on the throne and my God reigns forever. God has all of this in His control. He has everything in the palm of His hand. And what we need to do instead of criticizing and dividing is pray for one another. Pray that God would bring us together and then do something about it. Love others the way God loved you. Love others the way God loved me. Do we pass the test? Do you pass the test? Are we walking in the light? Verse 6 says we walk the same way He did. The Apostle Paul did. Paul says at least 5 times in the New Testament, you follow me as I follow Christ. You imitate me as I imitate Christ. Can you say that to someone else? You follow me as I follow Christ? Because if we can't, we don't pass the test. Instead of passing, we fail. Are we confessing our sins on a regular basis? Not just adding them all up during the day and confessing them at night, or adding them up all during the week and then making one big confession on Sunday morning. We're not doing that. Do we confess our sins on a regular basis? God, I just yelled at my wife. Forgive me. You know, I've got to tell you this, that years ago, and I may have told this story before, but for me it illustrates it. I was watching an Ohio State game one time, and Diane was out shopping. And I'm not sure what was happening in the game, but it was pretty intense. And the phone rang, and I answered the phone. And essentially, well, basically what happened was just before the answer machine picked up, I picked up the phone. And I started talking to Diane. And when I played that back, I was absolutely crushed in hearing my words. See, it had something to do with what I said, but it also was a matter of tone. It was how I said it. How dare you? I didn't say that, but it indicated, how dare you bother me when I'm in the middle of this football game? You know that this is what I do during this time. Don't you dare interrupt me. Because my focus is on is somewhere else. If I love Diane with everything I am, shouldn't I turn that off and spend my attention with her? Shouldn't I? Jerry? I say that because I'm not picking on Tennessee fans or anybody else. I'm picking on other Ohio State fans because he knows how I feel. So you, Joe. She understands. I immediately, when I heard that, confessed my sin. God, forgive me for the way I talked to my wife. Are we obedient to His command to love one another? Joe, I ought to be able to, I'm picking on you because you got the green shirt sitting right there, but I ought to be able to forgive you if you walked up on this platform right now and punched me in the mouth. Now, I know that's extreme. Who said do it? You know what? You failed the test because you encouraged Joe to sin. But shouldn't I love him anyway? Shouldn't I? After I hit him back? I don't think that's part of the equation. But regardless of how people treat us, aren't we to love them and respect them and forgive them? And when our behavior is in vengeance or with bad attitude, aren't we to repent as sin? That is sin? Don't hit me, Joe. I'm going to have a hard time forgiving it. Are we being obedient to God's command to love one another? Are we passing that test? Or are we apathetic toward one another? I will tell you that I've always believed that regardless of where you are in this room right now, you probably can reach out and touch someone whose life is in trouble, who's having a difficult time in their life. And we need to step up and come alongside and help them become who they are or who they should be in Christ. John is absolutely clear in what he writes in this book. There can be no question as to what he means. And again, it doesn't take very long to find out whether we are genuine believers. Be engulfed, be immersed in the light. Love him, love others for his glory. Be obedient. Stay up to date in confession of sin. Repent on a regular basis. Do what he tells you to do. If we do those things, we pass. If we fail in any one of those things, we fail the test. This is an all-encompassing test. If you pass one, don't pass the others, you fail. If you pass three or four of them and don't pass one, you fail. I fail. Do you, can you pass the test? And that's the question John's asking us today. That's the question we need to consider as we leave this place. Can we, will we, do we pass the test? Pray with me. Our Father and our God, we are grateful for you and for your presence. And Lord, I pray that if there is a problem in our lives with others, if there's a problem in passing this test, I pray that we would be open and honest, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to do in our lives what only He can do. And Lord, I pray that we would be willing to do those things, that we would have the courage to do those things. Give us desire to walk in your light. Not only to walk in your light, but to reflect your light. Help us to realize how much you love us. Your word says that we love you because you first loved us. So, Father, today I pray that our love relationship would grow and deepen and would consume our lives. I thank you today and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.